Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Happy April Fools! Yep, I'm releasing this week's episode super early and ad-free, just as a little nice joke for you. Not really a joke, but you know what I mean. I think at this point in this very long winter, I know it's technically spring, but you know what? We all need a little pep in our step heading into April because, god damn it, it has been one of the longest winters that I can remember. And I had two kids 13 months apart, which is pretty much a living hell in the middle of a Midwestern winter. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just feel blessed. You probably live on the West Coast, but winter 2018-2019 is going down in the books as Mother Nature's revenge on, well, let's just blame it on Cody, all right? Maybe he's using up all of Vegas's energy resources to run his freaking diffuser, and this is how we all pay for it. Well, speaking of paying and contributing, I am going to throw out a very heartfelt thank you to Nicole Jeremio, Lauren Arant, Lynn Huston, Sarah Hall, Molly Moomau, and Catherine Broom for being the latest Patreon subscribers. Your stickers will be in the mail shortly, and we all thank you for helping me bring Reality TV to the airwaves for free here on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you are listening. You can thank the Patreon subscribers. And of course, I'm thanking you personally because you are the ones that are keeping my baby, my Reality TV, alive. Now, before we jump into Seeking Sister Wife, yeah, we had 2 hours of it. Can you believe it? I want to talk about this show that is so near and dear to my heart. I forgot how much I loved it until I caught up this weekend, and that's the one and only Trading Spaces. In this latest episode, there's two couples, of course, and Hildy did this one room, and I think it was in 5 different colors. Picture in your mind that video. Remember the, now I'm just somebody that you used to know, or I used to know, whatever the words are. Okay, so it's like very geometrical, and everything comes down to this vertex in the floor. She used linoleum tiles, so the floor is like different segmented shapes all coming to a point, which you know once those things settle and people start walking on it, it's going to be all kinds of wonky. It was just so, so bad. So the walls were painted like down the middle. So half a wall would be this ugly green. The other part was this weird coral. And they painted the doors, the trim, the crown molding. And then on top of all of this, the bedding that Hildy paired with this shit show of a room, it looked like dirty sheets. There's no way those things were new. She had to have picked them up at a Goodwill. And I'm thinking she might just be pocketing the rest of the money. It was terrible. How she sleeps at night, it's beyond me. She is right up there with like Mitch McConnell to me now. It's that bad. Now, the other room was better. Lori designed it, you know, like the redhead. I actually think she's gorgeous. I used to really like her stuff back in the day. It was definitely my taste, very clean lines, had kind of a, a classic twist to everything. But the thing is, her style hasn't changed since the original seasons. She still does the paisleys. She still does the striped pillows. Remember, she would have everything mitered down to the middle, kind of like what Hildy did with the floors. And the worst thing of all, she used to do it back in the day, and it bugged me even then. She puts plates on a wall in a bedroom. Like, I understand, it may not be my taste, but I understand people might have the little plate display things in your kitchen. But in a bedroom, like, it's not an heirloom. It's not functional in a bedroom. It just doesn't look good. And hers are not patterns. The ones this week, it was just plain white IKEA plates just stuck up on a wall. Like, there's like a whole serving set just thrown up there for no reason. I certainly am not an interior designer, but if you gave me $2,000 and 2 hours in a Target and or Home Depot, I can make a room look amazing. It's almost impossible to not make a room look good with that amount of money and the resources and the kind of stores that we have today. I mean, think about it. Let's say your partner rolls over one day and they're like, you know what? You deserve $2,000. You can go shopping wherever you want. Or not even your partner, your best friend, your roommate, your mom or dad, whoever it is that's close to you that would probably not give you $2,000. You just get to let loose in a Home Goods, a Home Depot, resale shops, wherever your heart desires. You know, Hildy... It's like she does this for a living, and there's no way in hell she would want someone doing that to her Paris flat. She comes back every single time with the cheap, discounted Oops paint from Home Depot. Look, I know I'm there as often as I can because I freaking love a Home Depot. The smell in there, it's like walking into Disney World for me. But she comes back with this shitty paint, linoleum with a little asbestos tossed in there, and shitty furniture every single time. Not even just this episode, every single time. It's a disgusting chair that she probably picked up in someone's front lawn. Maybe A&E Hoarders is filming down the street and she just picks up something that's covered in cat piss and decides, hey, let's paint it, because she's done that before. Painted a chair, and I'm not talking wood, like fabric. Is that even a thing? Is that even sanitary? Is that up to OSHA standards? I'm pretty sure it's not. Now, will I stop watching the show? No, I never claimed that I have self-control. But I just want to say, I think it's time we get rid of Hildy. Yes, she's got the shock factor, but the empaths in all of us, even if you're a snarky bitch like I am, you feel bad for the people that have to live in that house because they are going to be spending far more than $2,000 fixing the damage that Hildy has done. Now, I am going to get into Sister Wives first because we got two whole glorious hours of it last night. I could not get enough. It really should have been 2 hours from the beginning. Let's cut Sister Wives down to an hour just like they did last night and give us 2 hours of Seeking Sister Wife. Just when I thought the night couldn't get any better, I felt like I had a full belly of Sister Wives. That sounded really disgusting, but you get the idea. I get an alert, Katie Not Holmes on Twitter and Instagram. We all know Katie. She tipped me off to this video. I think it's a Facebook Live of Jennifer. I'm talking about the one who kind of catfished the Aldridges. Okay, this video of Jennifer is fucking crazy. It's about 35 minutes. And trust me, there's not a lot of things that I will listen to or watch for 35 minutes, but this is worth it. If you're in my Facebook group, I posted it or reposted it there. Once again, this is all credit to Katie Not Holmes for showing me the way and finding it on YouTube. Okay, well, I'll talk about it more when we get to the Aldridges because I don't think she did herself any favors on looking less crazy in this video. That clearly was her intent, but it just, wow. She crashed and burned. And I would play sound clips here for you because there's some real doozy 15 to 20 second audio clips where you probably don't need to listen to the rest of it, even though I just told you listen to it to get the full grasp of her wackadoo-ness. But honestly, I don't know if it's illegal or something. And I definitely, after listening to this, I don't need her coming after me. So again, if you want to listen to it, watch it, just take it all in, head to my Facebook group and you'll see it. It's in there. Just search. I think it just says she's crazy. Or go to YouTube and just search Jennifer Seeking Sister Wife and I'm sure it'll come up. Okay, let's do it. Let's jump into the episode last night that was titled One Wedding and a Funeral? Oh, you saucy little TLC teasing us like you do. We got to start off with the Snowdens, right? Because, wow, they were pretty fucking awful. I hope you're listening on an empty stomach or maybe you overate, you had an extra fatty lunch and you wish you didn't eat it, because I'm going to make your day. You're about to lose it all, upchuck it, something, and 5, 4, 3, 2, Dimitri finally penetrated Vanessa's basic vagina. No alkaline anywhere, and apparently it was wonderful, although it looked pretty sad to me. It looked like they were fully clothed, laying in bed. And Dimitri, I mean, with the paisley, the plaid all around, he's twiddling his little pajama bottoms drawstring. He's even holding her hand while staring at his stupid silicone wedding ring. It's just disgusting. And I'm not talking about the ring. I'm talking about Dimitri's face, okay? He says that there was a lot of tension being released that evening. Okay, well, I'd like to release some tension on behalf of all of us to his left temple and then an uppercut to his gigantic white grill. These two, I cannot, and I really don't want to loop Vanessa into this trifecta of horribleness. Let's just keep it the Snowdens. But she's asking for it at this point. I don't trust Vanessa anymore. She seems like a nice person. She seems like she's got a level head. But what the fuck, girl? I'm not going to feel bad for you anymore if you are asking for this. And what is it when they wake up in the morning? This killed me. You get the babies. I'll get the food. No. So now Ashley, she's not even getting her own kids up in the morning. She's just leaving it to Vanessa. Like Vanessa has to receive Dimitri, if you know what I mean, and deal with his morning breath and grab your toddlers all at once in the morning while you try to score your Nutribullet endorsement in the kitchen. I don't understand it. What is Vanessa getting out of this? Dimitri does not look like a gift of a man. I know last week he tried to pretend like he was some CrossFit Spartan race expert or some kind of bullshit, but he looks kind of little to me. I really think that the two of them should have just gotten a hotel, go away for the weekend. But you know, that probably would not have worked out for Ashley. She would not have endorsed that because God forbid the live-in nanny take a few days off, because then Ashley would have to drink her sparkling water in her freaking iridescent stainless steel cup by her pool all alone and, oh, watch the babies. And okay, I'm going to be a little nitpicky here, as I usually am. Can we stop calling her 4 and 5 year old kids babies? The baby is a baby. Let's just call them the kids. For anyone else, it probably would not drive me crazy. Like if you refer to your kids as the babies, that's fine. It's just the Snowdens. I'm being honest about it. I'm being a complete hypocrite. It's just their faces. Okay. It's their fault. Their faces are so hateable. Okay, back to, oh, we're still in the morning, right? Ashley's cold, standoffish. And as a matter of fact, I notice that it was not until she gained the upper hand, established dominance by telling Vanessa that she heard them having sex, only then did Ashley start to lighten up. Only then did she start laughing. I don't think any of us are idiots. That was Ashley's way of maintaining control, of being head wife. It's not even like first wife, second wife. She wants to have head wife in charge, head bitch in charge status at all times. She doesn't want a tribe. She just wants like it's like a pyramid scheme, right? It's going to be her downline. Vanessa's her downline. Then she's going to find another wife, and then that wife is going to take Vanessa's duties. It's pretty obvious. You don't have to listen to the whole season of The Dream Podcast, which is an incredible podcast, multi-level marketing schemes. Look into it if you are into that kind of thing. But it's clear, it's obvious what they are after. In a tribe, it is not. Now, we also know they're lying, not only about their intentions, but about them never trying the polygamy theme before. We watched last season, you assholes. We know you tried this before because you fucking told us. We also know that that other sister wife came forward. They had another sister wife living with them for quite a period of time. So this, gee golly, I don't know how we should do the sleeping arrangements. I never thought of it before. It's bullshit. They're liars. And even if Vanessa does this long term with them, I hope she doesn't, but if she does, I want a cul-de-sac situation for her. It needs to go the way of the Browns, not everyone in the same house kind of thing. She needs to have her own place, or else Ashley is always going to be, like I said, the head wife in charge. Okay, moving forward. Oh, right. Again, Vanessa's watching the kids so Ashley and Dimitri can go dick around and walk around the lake. Now, I noticed when Ashley was talking about Vanessa marrying them or accepting Dimitri's proposal. Oh, yeah. Dimitri wants to propose to her now because he approves of her vaginal pH. Ashley had these metal things or like little rhinestones on. Okay, I don't know what they're called, but the teeth that were two to the left and right of her front teeth. Did anyone else notice this? I don't know if it was a piercing or a little bejeweled or if there's some sort of vaginal pH purpose for it, but go back and look. I didn't see it in any other scene except them walking around the lake. Now, more on that in just a moment, but we're going to fast forward to Dimitri congratulating himself on planning to ask Vanessa's mom for her hand in marriage. He was so impressed with himself. He thought his tweed vest and dropping the phrase backyard with a phony as fuck Boston accent was going to make Mama JoJo swoon. Well, it didn't. She saw through that fakeness, that phoniness, that smarminess, just like all of us do. And I want to touch on this Boston backyard thing. Never before have I heard Dimitri, first of all, need to use the phrase yard. He just made that up. He wanted to make himself seem unique and lovable. And oh, oops, did my Boston accent come through? Bullshit. I don't buy it. No one bought it. And for this reason alone, remember his made-up job that he gave himself as an ontological architect? Well, I've heard him say ontological architect. I didn't hear him say ontological architect or however the hell he would pronounce it if he's pronouncing the word yard like yad. He's full of shit. I fucking hate him. Now, JoJo, you know, she is one smart, sassy, in her prime age woman. She herself has a 1978 split-level home that was modernized way better than the Snowden's A-frame. She knows her shit. Dimitri's fake modern tribesman, she's too smart for it. And without a woman validating Dimitri and making him feel smart, did you notice he had nothing to say? Like, he froze. Without his smarm, he's got nada. I mean, JoJo fucking slayed him. She called him out for cheating on Ashley with Jocelyn. She called him out for his dishonesty. And she also called him out for the speed in which he's roping Vanessa in. Plus, JoJo's got the same drinking glasses from Target that I have, so she's basically a queen in my book. Now, even though she, I think reluctantly, gave her blessing, she made sure Dimitri knew that her marrying a black man in her past is not the same thing as adding wives to a marriage or living a plural lifestyle. I'm not an expert. I'm not going to spark some political debate. For me, I interpreted JoJo kind of feeling offended that Dimitri was just assuming how JoJo felt about her marriage or her husband as a black man and she being a white woman at the time, which was wrong because JoJo set him straight. I mean, once again, she's amazing. I don't think Dimitri, looking at her physically, thought she was going to have such a strong personality or hold her ground, which is what made everything just, like I want to do like the little chef kiss. It was perfect. Now I'm going to set something else straight because, you know, Dimitri and CeeLo or C-Note or C-Tune, whatever. The guy's lyrics, who's writing this stupid proposal song, he ripped the lyrics off from Ed Sheeran and Beyonce and I'm sure countless other artists because that line, "I see the future in your eyes," really Slim Shady. That's the best you got. You're supposed to be a songwriter and it's like the most basic lyric ever. Let me guess, you're going to go look at the ocean, you're going to see some boats, you're going to come up with a song called, oh, I don't know, row, row, row your fucking boat. That's freaking dork. Now, I kind of want to loop back to this Ashley teeth bling thing. I noticed this guy had the same thing. He had these little jewels, like something that might have fallen off a phone case from Claire's Boutique or something. He had them glued on his teeth too. So I'm guessing this is going to be some sort of Instagram business launch, teeth bling ring by Dimitri, sponsored by his ontological architect firm or something. There's going to be something to it. Trust me, put it in the books. That's my prediction for the next 6 months. Now let's fast forward to proposal day. First of all, why is Ashley there? Why does she need to be there? Look at the Browns. Yeah, I'm using them as the gold standard now. You don't see them there when Cody proposes. When they had their marriage ceremony, I don't even think Cody and Robin had a first dance together. They did like a family dance or some bullshit. I just think it's weird. Vanessa never gets to have her own thing. She's got to have the baby there. She's got to have two kids on her hips. Oh, I'm sorry, not kids. Two babies on her hips. It's bullshit. Ashley, take a seat. Go home. Now I want to be careful saying take a seat because she's always sitting down because Vanessa's fucking running around. Bottom line, she should not have been there, but she is, and she and Dimitri, of course, they're taking it easy in the shade, right? They're sitting under the umbrella while Vanessa is just roasting away in the sun. I'm sure in their minds, they're thinking, what, you think we're going to risk absorbing UV rays into our alkaline-free skin when Vanessa can do it? Please. God, they're such assholes, and they don't do anything well. Have you noticed that? They don't plan their moves well. They don't appear to work. They don't seem to plan ahead very well. And they certainly cannot improvise well. When Vanessa asks if she can switch places because she can actually feel a mole growing on her skin, they just go, hold on. So more about this job I used to have, pre-ontological archaeology or architecture, whatever the hell. That's when C linked note or whatever, he checks in thinking it's, you know, like an American Idol audition, starts singing and the other dude's playing the guitar. It was horrible. I hated every fucking second of it. First of all, I'm not a huge fan of the beach. It's pretty, but I don't like the sand, okay? I don't like playing in the snow. I don't like playing in the sand. I never have. So a beach proposal to me is just, I mean, you might as well just throw sand in my mouth and say, hey, will you marry me? And then, God, Dimitri fucking takes out a bracelet box, a long rectangular box, and I knew I was going to lose my goddamn shit because it's not a ring. He takes out not even a bracelet, not a necklace, a fucking anklet. What the shit is this? Vanessa had to sleep with Dimitri and his big old teeth and commit to being a live-in nanny, and all she gets is a fucking anklet? Fuck that shit. She's given up pizza. She's given up meat. She's given up a lovely tenderloin or filet, and now she's got a cheap little anklet. Thank you. Oh, sorry. I almost forgot about the bindi that Ashley draws on her forehead. Gee, thanks. What a welcome to the family gift. Now, next week looks absolutely insane. So let's put a pin in it there because it's almost looking like it's turning into a 90-day fiancé situation. Not necessarily her being a 90-day fiancé, but the drama level, it looks amazing. Now, there's also some drama that we're going to get into with Bernie and Paige McGee right now. Man, what an episode, right? We meet back up with the McGees over the old 96ers, and Paige is pretty damn firm on her needing more time before she's comfortable with Bernie laying on a recliner next to Brandy for the rest of her life. Bernie reluctantly agrees to hold off for a little bit, but he's just hoping Paige makes up her mind soon before Brandy moves on to another couple. Question for you. Do you think we should give Bernie credit for being real enough with himself, true enough to himself, to know that he's maybe not that much of a catch? You know what I mean? Like, he knows Brandy may find, well, not bigger and better things, maybe better things if they kind of push her to the side. I'm trying to give Bernie the benefit of the doubt, you know, see what it's like being optimistic, seeing what it's like to be an optimistic person. I don't know. Jury's still out. I'll let you know. Now, the verdict, I guess, is in for Paige because she thought about it. She's been praying and she's finally decided, you know what? I want a friend. She wants someone who she can laugh with and talk with. And Brandy might just be BFF potential after all. You know, I'm curious. Do you think Paige has ever heard about something called meetup.com or maybe a community center, a rec center? Seems to me like Paige is just really lonely right now, and I get it. She was a stay-at-home mom, right? Her boys are getting older. They don't need a ton of one-on-one time anymore. It's actually a very natural feeling to have. I don't think adding another wife is really what is going to help or really what Paige wants or needs. What she needs is a hobby. She needs to interact with other adults. You know, volunteer, sign up for some classes, even if it's a cheesy, I don't know, like an art class or a Tai Bo or Mahjong or I don't know. She just needs to do something with her time other than walk the dog and sit outside in that front yard that, Jesus, really needs some sweat equity. I mean, get out there and rake a few leaves for Christ's sake. Okay, so here's where I started getting really confused, and I know we all rode this roller coaster together last night. So Paige says that she wants Brandy to come, but I was wondering as I was watching this, you know, does she really want her to come? Because as soon as Brandy got there to visit, Paige instantly turned into just a stone cold bitch. She was fine when she was with her sons, and she was like, oh, Miss Brandy's here. And then all of a sudden, next thing we knew, she's saying towels have to be folded my way. And if you did the dishwasher wrong, I tell you, you just have to redo it. And at first, I couldn't tell, you know, is she just being playful or sarcastic? But no, she had on this stink face. She was glaring right at Brandy. And it was then that it occurred to me that, you know, I bet Bernie put his foot down when the cameras were away and insisted that he wanted Brandy to visit again. But of course, Paige doesn't want to look like a pushover on film. So she just went along with it like it was her idea. Don't you think? It's the only thing in my mind that makes sense. So to me, as I was watching this, I'm thinking, oh yeah, Paige knows what she's doing. It was her plan all along once Bernie said, hey, I want Brandy to come back out. She's going to ice Brandy out and be a total snot to her so that Brandy changes her mind and then Paige's hands are clean. She can be the one to say, it wasn't me, it was Brandy who changed her mind. Now let's talk about Brandy. Not for nothing, this chick has got some balls. She is way more straightforward and direct than I could ever be. I mean, I talk a good game on here, but listen, to someone's face, I'm the biggest pushover ever. And Brandy's got some willpower, man. Even though I think those nachos on the table looked and they probably smelled like dog food because, you know, the dog bowl of cheese, she didn't even flinch. I mean, I was looking at that plate of disgusting nachos and I was starting to crave a Nachos Bel Grande. I know that stuff is made with probably actual dog food, but I was salivating. I know I'm a disgusting person. And let's talk about this cheese for a moment. Paige, if you hate shredding cheese, why would you not just buy it shredded? If that's like your one thing that you hate about cooking, the one pet peeve you have is shredding cheese, splurge a little, okay? Sam's and Costco, I know for a fact, sell like 5-pound bags of it. Just get your shit together, Paige. You know she and Bernie know their way around a bulk food store, so don't be giving me this bullshit like you've never heard of it and, oh, your life is so hard because you gotta shred some cheese. That's a tongue twister, huh? Shred some cheese. Anyway, okay, so Brandy's miserable. I felt bad for her because Paige is just gaslighting her at this point. There's nothing Brandy can say or do that Paige is gonna let her get away with. And then we find out the morning after that cameras left and Bernie came home and there was a huge blowout. I really hope the McGee boys are saving for their future therapy fund because those copays, they're racking up at this point. Now, not only was I disgusted by the very brown, flattened, sad bed pillows, only two of them, by the way, no shams, nothing. I was also disgusted that Bernie is insisting that Brandy sit down with Paige again. I mean, the woman is in tears. I know the crew was probably urging you to do it. She's packing to go home. Let her be done. Just because you're desperate to have sex with her at some point, don't go dragging her into an argument that she doesn't want to have. And I mean, God, yeah, I know we were all probably selfishly thrilled that we got to see them sit down, but come on. Paige is still being a bitch. She was not settled down. She was still fuming from the night before. So when she does sit down, she's all jumpy and twitchy, kind of like I am right now because I'm feeling very defensive of Brandy. But it was as if the more calm Brandy got in order to try to calm Paige down, it was the opposite reaction. Paige got more angry. And then this is where I got torn. Bernie kept on jumping in to agree with Brandy and kind of settle Paige down. And this is where, you know, I'll be honest, if I were Paige, I'd be setting the kitchen on fire again if my husband were choosing sides too. I did feel bad for her in that respect. However, Paige was totally wrong. I mean, the thing is that you got to look at it from Paige's perspective. Again, I'm not saying she's right. She was absolutely wrong. She was being a total bitch. But I think we've all had those times when maybe you're in too deep into an argument. You've stood your ground for so long and so firmly that now you can't go back, right? You got to double down on it. And that's what Paige is doing. She's so up in her own head that she can't see her just being stubborn about it is not just being stubborn about it. It's hurting the other people around you, and it's your fault. Okay, that got really deep there and very psychoanalyzy, but that's what it was. Now, Bernie, he's going to get over his little crush, his little broken heart, but my heart broke for those kids. That little guy, that little turkey crying about Miss Brandy, it killed me. And Paige was such a bitch about it. She takes no ownership. Exactly. She's projecting onto Brandy exactly what she's guilty of. She's saying she failed her kids and she feels badly because she allowed Brandy into her home and Brandy hurt her kids. No, 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 honey. Those kids should never have even met Brandy at this point. It's not Brandy's fault. It's Bernie and Paige's fault. Set some boundaries as a parent and stop putting everything on Brandy. So yeah, I think we can all agree Bernie's a big weirdo and Paige is just a bitch. All right, let's get to the Aldridges. I hate to be the one to break this to you, but Jennifer is dead. Yes, Jeff has received a text from aunt, cousin, sister, Bobby Lynn or something, and he immediately starts laughing. Did anyone else notice that this was actually the first time I think we've ever seen Jeff smile? He's always serious. He's always deep in thought or swinging on something, but not this time. I may have even heard a chuckle. I mean, it took Jennifer's imaginary death to make the man come to life, but I was living for it. I thought it was great. Now, obviously, Jennifer is not dead because Charisse has proof. Encyclopedia Aldridge just happened to have screenshots of Jennifer's Hawaiian vacation on the beach in a bikini. You know, like you have photos of your friends saved like that, right? Charisse, she's just like us, saving all the photos of our friends in bikinis. Well, the Aldridges are annoyed, and even though I think, I mean, they must be colorblind because at this point they don't see any kind of red flags thrown up by anyone in their lives wherever they go, I would be absolutely annoyed and ticked off. They did leave their kids for several days when they flew to Niagara to meet Jennifer because Jennifer said she wanted to meet them. They wiped down the treehouse to throw her ass up in there for nothing, right? Cleaned, cooked, all this kind of shit. But you know Jeff, he is not a quitter. With Charisse's help, scouring the corners of the internet for women that she wants for the family, they'll find the right one to store in their treehouse for generations to come of future Aldridges. Okay, now let's talk about this YouTube video that Jennifer did last night. First of all, the girl cannot stop sniffing. She said she's coming down or she's recovering from the flu or something, but she was all kinds of sniffles and congested. Like, get yourself some Zyrtec and some Flonase immediately because it's fucking annoying. She was also drinking a big can of something, which is fine. I mean, I enjoy a cocktail and an alcoholic beverage too, but it just wasn't a good look. She was smoking something. She smokes menthol cigarettes, which she thought was hilarious. And then she talked about this treehouse. She started saying how the bathrooms and the kitchen in the Aldridge's house had no running water. But Charisse came on and made this post later that said, no, we do have running water. Our toilet can be used as a compostable toilet, but they have running water. So there's that little theory of Jennifer's thrown out with the toilet water, whatever pun you want to insert there. Now, Jennifer also went on to say that the reason she blew Jeff off was because her stepson, yes, she was previously married, was locked out of the house. Remember when she had to leave immediately and it was kind of fishy? She said it's because her stepson lost his house key and she didn't want to call him out on camera that he was forgetful or something. But she also said that Jeff creeped her out, that he had spent a number of hours talking to her on FaceTime and on the phone. And yes, they did flirt. Charisse and Vanessa were very nice to her and everything was great. But all of a sudden, when she met them in person, Jeff creeped her out. I don't know. She was very, I don't even know how to describe it. You really just need to go and watch it. She became aggressive at some of the haters, even though she was saying, oh yeah, I want to hear the bad comments. Yeah, come and tell me. Actually, when someone said, why don't you go blow your nose because she's sniffing left and right, she said something like, yeah, I'm going to go blow some rails or we're going to go smoke something or other. I'm so out of the loop with this drug talk, but you just need to go and check it out because she really, she did not do herself any favors in redeeming herself. She looks crazy. And if her intention was to set the story straight that she was not the one who sent the Jennifer is dead text, I don't really believe that. And by the way, in case you don't know at this point, I know a lot of people have already talked about this, but very quickly, she said it was her stepsister who took her phone over a camping trip and she was the one who texted it. And Jennifer was just like, okay, whatever. I don't care that you texted that. Doesn't add up in my book, but whatever. Like I said, I don't need Jennifer stalking down my ass and doing a Facebook Live about it. All right, next up is the Winders. The Winders have a campfire and they really love watermelon. After the break, stick around for Sister Wives. Moving Meltdowns. Yep, it's the perfect episode name because it is true. We are all melting down from the longest storyline in Sister Wives history after, of course, the Brown family mission statement, Maddie's pregnancy, and whether or not there are actual 6-foot-tall humans being held hostage in those gigantic chairs that are now residing in Robin's house. I have this fear and this theory that it may be those anthropology students that we haven't seen in several seasons hiding in them. Think about it. It's one of the reasons why I am still tuning into this season is because I need to know, really, are those chairs going to make the move to Flagstaff or are they going to be donated, torn open, and we're going to find all the skeletons of the Browns closet there within? I know, my mind is a really dark place. Now, first we catch up with Cody, who is sprunching, scrunching, diffusing his hair, just like all of us who read YM Magazine did back in the day. You gotta give it to him. He does have a great technique. The flip over, scrunch, scrunch, put it up, let it dry in there so when you take it down, it's nice and voluminous. The reason he's so motivated to look his best here is because he's going on a bro trip. I mean, it's sort of, I don't know, a guy's night out. A GNO, if you will. Actually, it's more of a guy's afternoon in. A gay. No, not a gay. It's just a bridal shower for guys. A guy shower. An hour-long shower with guys. Agent Michael Skarn. It's a weekend away with Caleb's brother, I'm assuming, because they look a lot alike. That or Corey from Teen Mom's twin. I mean, the resemblance is uncanny. And then there's also some younger brother of Cody's that I really don't give a shit about. We see a lot of Christine this episode. It's a lot of Christine and Cody as the main couple. She's sharing that Cody has been keeping a secret from everyone. We don't know what it is, but first, we learn about Christine making the first move when she met Cody. Okay, who cares? Cody has charades to play. Two words rhymes with smoosh bag schmuggy. He really could have made a name for himself if he was back on a Nickelodeon game show back in the day, like a Double Dare, a Funhouse. His child acting skills are on point. So let's fast forward to this draftswoman in Prescott. I mean, what else can I say but the house she designed, it's incredible. You can tell she put a lot of work into it, included all the things Cody asked for and more. The bedrooms are on opposite ends, like north, south, east, west, whatever, northeast, south, west, you get the idea. Opposite sides of the house, that was brilliant. The huge center great room, perfect. And as much as I wanted to kick the little brother Beard in the freaking taint when he started shitting on the staircase in the garage, I kind of agree with him. I saw his point. I felt bad for the draftswoman, the architect, whatever the hell you call her, because she did do a lot of work on this. And there's a lot more to it than just function, right? It's got to look good. But he's right. The front hallway is going to be hell during rush hour. Just think about Mary, okay? How's she going to lug all her Lula shit up and down those flights of stairs after a Facebook flash sale? Now, speaking of Mary, oh God, this was so, so good. The karma of it all, it just warmed my soul. Mariah and Audrey gather Mary and her eyebrows together because they got to break some news to her. They don't want her helping them move. Oh my God, it was just like such an evil, brilliant plan. Mariah certainly learned from the best, didn't she? She just knew exactly what to say to manipulate the situation, use some clever wording, and kind of just mold the truth a little bit, okay? Not lying, just smushing things together and molding it to sound good. Now, I don't blame her because I certainly would not want Droopy Dog there helping me pack and travel across the country either. But the way Mariah just threw it out there so blatantly, but so masterfully, cringy amazingness that really deserves, if there was some sort of reality TV award ceremony, that would deserve some sort of, I don't know, I'll think of a name of the award, but it deserves something. Now, I'm curious to see what your opinions are here. Please let me know. I couldn't tell if Mary really understood that Mariah and Audrey didn't want her to help them because they just really didn't want her to help them, and not that they want Mary to be kind to herself during her move. I don't know if she got it. I mean, either way, it was smart for them just to scurry on out after they dropped the bomb to her because I didn't know how she was going to react either way. So let me know what you thought. Did Mary understand that they just don't like her and they prefer Audrey's mom? Or did Mary realize it and just, she hasn't had time to process it and she's going to take it out on them later? Let me know. Okay, what else? Gabriel, I mean, he's a normal teenager, right? He's pissed that his mom is psychoanalyzing him for a film crew. Who wouldn't be upset? And we also have Robin, who's boo-hooing over not wanting to move from Flagstaff in the future. Like, we're not even there yet. Can you stop the drama and the crying, Robin? You aren't even out of Vegas. Now, then we get this meeting with the triplets, which I think is really quadruplets, because it's Gabe, Gwendolyn, Aurora, that's Robin's daughter, and Isabel. So Cody and Christine, they're eating freaking more eggs than Ezekiel bread, and they're talking again about this move. Yeah, that's exactly what these tweens or teens are dying to talk about again in a more one-on-one scenario. What made this scene so television-worthy is that Gabe makes a joke about getting a motorcycle, which honestly, I thought it was pretty funny. I think his comedic timing is spot on. I like the kid. But somewhere in the joking and then the praising of Gwendolyn's maturity and how she's handling it, Gabe fucking loses it and storms out. I don't blame him. We've all had those moments where your anger has been put on a simmer for weeks or months and something just sets you off and he's just over it. I'm over it. I think you're all over it. We're all Gabe in this scenario. We just want to storm out and be done with it. Now, next week, we watch the Browns move. Again, I've said this before, what's worse than moving? It's watching someone else pack and move. Just cross your fingers, we get a midday taco truck lunch break with Tony. It's the best case scenario. Let's just wish for it. Now, I also have a special wish for you, and that's for you to tune in to Total Request Podcast. That's Amanda and I at patreon.com/AmandaandJody. This week, we have the Real Housewives of New Jersey episode, the iconic table flip. Also coming up on my Patreon, that's patreon.com/realityvpod, Amanda is going to join me. We're going to be talking about Teen Mom 2, as well as, get this, it's going to be so freaking good, all four episodes of HBO's The Case Against Adnan Syed. We are huge fans of the Serial podcast and everything having to do with this case, so make sure you tune in for that. Also coming up on Moms on the Rocks podcast this week, We're basically just calling it Anxiety and Me because Carrie and I are talking about all the shit that goes on in our lives, as well as a crazy case of missing women at the Indiana Dunes. It's a real, real good episode. So tune into that. You know where to find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Reality TV Pod. Again, thank you to those of you who are on Patreon. You have my eternal gratitude. I love you for it. And with that, happy April Fool's Day. Have a fantastic full week ahead of you. I'll talk to you next time. Stay salty.